We are at the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis, right at the bottom, almost the end of the page here. We are in the middle of discussing if we're talking about a found shovar, and if the woman agrees to give it back. So now the last question was, why aren't we worried about a wrongful seizure from the husband of a third party who takes the ksuba money, right? Whereas the reality was they didn't get divorced until Tishrei, but the shovar says Nisan, in which case, in the meantime, if the woman had sold the rights of the ksuba, Tovas Hana, I think that's what the case was.
Yes.
So then the husband can go and collect it from the Lukukos, Shalokadin. So why aren't we worried about that? Because we had said in the, what's the Brisa? We said in the Brisa that Yachzir Labal, we can give it back. But shouldn't we be worried about the husband doing that? So Amar Rava, Ant Achaf, Amar Aleph, Shema Mina, Isa L'Dishmuel. Damar Shmuel HaMokhish Darchov L'Chavero, V'Chazer M'Chalo Machol. Vafilu Yoresh Mochel. According to Shmuel, a lender who sells the document, which is essentially what we're talking about here, you're selling the rights to collect the loan. So to the woman sold the rights to collect the ksuba. Effectively a woman's like a lender because she gets that money from the husband. So, but if the lender then forgives the loan, so then it works. I don't know if there's like a problem doing that in the first place, but if he does it, then it works. And similarly, a yoresh, an inheritor, can also be mochel. And since that's the case, in the situation we're talking about with the husband, even if the woman would sell the ksuba off, she could still be mochel the ksuba. Why would that take care of the problem? I guess the woman wants to prevent the husband from doing that, and she could be mochel it. I'm not really sure. I guess I don't know how that takes care of the problem. If there is still a time period where the husband would want to unjustifiably seize the rights to the ksuba, how does the fact that she can annul the ksuba help at all? I guess technically we're trying to dismiss the ksuba payment in both cases, but still, I don't get it. I guess the woman would be able to preempt what the husband would try to do. I really don't understand the why that justifies not being concerned with the husband. But okay. But Abai Amar, Afilu Tamid Leisa Dishmuel, even without Shmuel, we can still account for this possible concern. Hachma Eskinan, Bishashtar, Ksuba yotze mitachas yada. When the ksuba comes from her, she is the one that's holding it, and therefore we don't worry about the fact that the husband will come along and take from the person who bought the tovas hana, because we're talking about a case where she still has the ksuba. Yeah, Virava Amar Imishim Shtar Ksuba Chayshinan Lashtei Ksubas. If she holds on to a ksuba, why don't we worry about the fact that maybe it's this ksuba of somebody else that she's now using to prove it? V'yomer Abai, if Abai Amar Chada l'shtek sos l'chashinan, v'od shover b'zman v'tarif. That first of all, we don't worry about two ksubas. That's too far-fetched. That some of the same exact names, etc. But secondly, shovar bizmano tarif.
She could have two. She says the first one she lost, and so they wrote the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And so now she produces the one and then the other. So she could.
What is the second part? Shovar bizmano tarif?
It says a receipt deprives the creditor of the right to collect payment of a debt from the date recorded in the receipt onward, even if it's handed over to the debtor at a later date.
Meaning that is the legitimate time, even if they only enacted it or they only handed it over, it was only effectual later. The time that it was written is considered the time that it's actually tarif, that it can be seized from. So by the time it's our Da'amar, Eda v'chasumin b'chasum av zachin lo. The second the witnesses sign on it, so then it's good to go. Right, we had said that recently, recently about that also, that yes, there could be some nefarious timing issues, that they're sort of in cahoots and, you know, unjustifiably taking it earlier. But the truth is, once the shtar has the witnesses on it, it's as if it's already done from that moment. Okay. So yeah, that justifies all the found documents and why we aren't worried about them in some cases, but we are in other. Says the Mishnah, Matzah, Igros Shum. Igros Shum, is that like an evaluation?
Deeds evaluation.
Okay.
It says here, letters of assignment.
For the sake of how much something's worth?
An official letter stating that a property has been assessed and confiscated to satisfy a debt.
Okay, so guy didn't pay off his loan, and now, you know, the bank comes in. Let's, you know, imagine it's a bank, even though that doesn't make sense in this case. But, you know, a bank assessor comes in and says, this is how much his property is worth. It can pay off the loan, or it will pay off the loan. I don't know if they're seizing it yet.
The letters are given to a creditor by a court certified that property belonging to the debtor has been seized.
It is seized. Okay, interesting.
And assigned to his creditor.
Okay. So Basedin basically comes against his will and assigns the value and the property rights for the lender. Okay, the creditor. Vigros mazon. What does that mean? Documents attesting to the person owning food.
Documents of maintenance. Deeds in which the court records a man's undertaking to provide maintenance for his stepdaughter.
Stepdaughter? So Basedin writes a woman a proof that her husband accepted responsibility to sustain her daughter. Shtarei chalitza, I guess proof that they did a chalitza. Umei unin, and proof that they did. A girl did miyun. Ushtari Beirurin, which we'll have to discuss in the Gemara. V'chol Ma'asa Basedin. Why don't we just say that? I guess there's something included in that we haven't talked about yet. Harei Ze Yachzer. All of those can be given back, which we've already sort of established, or we've brought up in the Gemara already, that any Ma'asa Basedin is returned. Except when it isn't. Matzah b'hachafisa o b'tluskma. If you find it in different types of vessels, I have here, this is
a small bag or in a case is what I have.
A bag or a case, okay. Tachrich shel shtaros, or if it's wrapped up in a wrapping. Oh, aguda shel shtaros. And is this in a bunch of other shtaros?
A bundle of documents.
Okay, a bunch of others. So it's in someone's filing cabinet. Harezayach, so those you give back. Presumably, it has identifiable other items in it. V'kama aguda shel shtaros, how many is considered a bundle? Shlosha kshurim b'zeh b'zeh. Three documents together is considered a bundle. Because this is one of the three. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Echad Halov Mishlosha. It's only if the borrower...
If they belong to...
From three different people.
If they belong to one person who borrowed from three lenders, once
right. So then Yachzer Halove. Because clearly this is his personal filing cabinet where he's trying to keep organized all the people he owes money to. Okay. But that's... I have in parentheses here that means we assume that he's paid it off and therefore we give it to the Lova as a proof that he paid it off. Because otherwise, why would he be collecting all three of them?
Well, I mean, logically...
I get it, right. If the Malva...
All three lenders...
Thinking about it now, if the rule of thumb is that the Malva keeps the contract, so then how would all three of the lenders drop their shtar in the same place that these would all be collected, or that they would all have the same guy's name on them? The same borrower. So LMI, it must be that they were all in the Lova's possession already. That's why they're grouped together, and he had used them to already pay things off. He had used them as proof that he paid them off. Shlosha halovin min ha'echad. If, however, it's three people that collected from one person, so then yachzer l'malveh. Clearly, that's because the malveh dropped them, so he has to pay it off that way, or that you have to give it back to them so he can get it paid them paid off. If somebody finds a document inside of their own other documents, he doesn't know why he has it. I guess it's not his name.
Yeah, so he finds a document belonging to others in his own documents.
Okay, and he just doesn't remember why he has it. Yemunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Oh gosh, somebody deposited this document with a friend, and this friend is like, I don't know why I have this. I guess if it's somebody he knew, he could go talk to them. But im yesh yamim simponos, which is another word for a receipt. I feel like there are a few words for receipt. Yasema sheba simponos. So then you can, I guess, act in accordance to whatever the receipt says. I don't know what that means.
I think in modern Hebrew they say Kabbalah or something like that.
Kabbalah is a receipt?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cheshbon is a bill.
Uh-huh, that makes sense. Kabbalah is a receipt.
I think so.
Okay. Says the Gemara, my shtari bearer, and what does it mean? Clarification documents. Hacha targimu shtari tanasa. They explained it as documents of claiming.
Pleadings.
What does that mean?
Of litigants in a court.
It's like a transcription?
From something like, well, I mean, it could
they're writing down what they claim.
The answer. I mean,
yeah, that sounds like, it's
sounds
verification
like
of their claims.
Okay, some person in court was just writing down what they were saying.
It says court scribes record this information to prevent the litigants later reversing their arguments, amend the hold situation, if there ever was one.
Amend with an A.
No, mend.
Mend.
Mend the hold.
Like if they forgot something, they want to clear it up, or they...
Someone makes one argument, yeah. And then when that argument doesn't work, they completely go against it, and there's this concept called mend the hold doctrine. You can't do that.
You can't do that, but we have to prove that by having a transcript and saying...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You can make inconsistent arguments.
Yes.
You are allowed to contradict yourself.
Right, but you can't. There's, I don't know, it's like a whole weird thing. There's a million exceptions to it.
All right. Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, what is Shtar Be'erin? Rabbi Yirmiya Amar, Zeb Borer Lo Echad, Vezeb Borer Lo Echad. It's about choosing their judges.
This litigant chooses for himself a judge, and this other litigant chooses for himself a judge.
So Shtar Be'erin is the proof that they chose these judges?
Like an arbitration.
Mm-hmm. I guess they can't then go back on who they chose. That's what we're saying. Story time. There was a get that was found in the Beis Din of Rav Huna?
Yeah, in Rav Huna's courtyard.
Okay. Oh, I think we talked about that before. I guess Rav Huna had a bunch of shtars just strewn out on the floor. I don't know. Oh, no, this is the same case we did, I think. It was in a place called Shavire, which was on the Rachis River. Amar Avuna, Chayshin L'Shnei Shavire. Even though we don't know one for sure, right, this is what we were talking about a couple of days ago, in terms of Muchzak B'Shemos. Is there an established city that's already called, or an established other person that's already called that same name? So should, and therefore we would be worried. Rav Huna was worried, even though they didn't know Chayshina and L'Shnei Shavire. There could be another one next to one that the River Rachis. So Amar Rav Chista L'Rabba, Pok Ayin De La Orta Bayila Rav Huna Minach. Go in, oh yeah, we said this is all just one large quote from what we said already. I think that Rav Chista said to Rabba, go look into this halacha, because tonight we can ask Rav Huna about it. Nafak dak, Rabba went and looked into it. Va'ashkach, and he found the Mishnah of Ditnan Komasa based in Harezayachzir. So then, why is it that he's so unwilling to give back the document, because there might be another Shavire? The Mishnah says you give it back. The case of Rav Huna was a get case. A get case is talking about a woman committing adultery if you're going to get it wrong. You know, that's what's on the line. But in the case of the Mishnah, we're talking about financial documents. So Amar Lei, Tarda. That doesn't sound like a nice word. What does that mean?
Lunatic.
Idle talker.
Oh, the Sansino is so kind.
Know, Tarda. That's much nicer.
Person who acts foolishly. Yes.
Okay, Tarda. Shtari Chalitza, Meyonin Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, I was going to say this also. It says in the Mishnah, a Chalitza and a Meyon case. Those are both adulterous, you know, possibilities. I don't know, but Chalitza per se could be just an Isser Lav in that case. But Meyon is presumably an Isser. I don't know if this regards. Maybe it's also Midrabanan. Let's see. Paka Arzat.
Since the marriage is Midrabanan.
It's only Midrabanan, that's what I'm saying. Because she's too young.
And it's, her father's not there.
Right.
Her father could do it, but the mother and brothers can only do it Midrabanan.
Right. So both of those cases aren't real. I mean, they're Isurim, but not to the same level as a get would be. Paka Arzat Deirav. The column broke that he was leaning on. I don't know if that's a. I don't know if that's figurative, and even if it is, I don't know what it means. That the column fell or a column broke. Mar Amar and Rav Amar said, "Mishum latai didi, paka, because of my luck, my bad luck."
My lot.
Latai didi paka. Umar Amar mishum latai didi paka.
They both
said that's my fault. I'm sorry. Which, honestly, I'm wondering how that squares with the Isser of Lo Senach Hashu, that you shouldn't perform acts based on, you know, superstitious things or something like that. You know, you can't take the world as meant, like a black cat walking in front of you or something like that. I don't know. Each one of them said it was my. I don't know what they're saying by that. Are they saying that I'm right, that's why it broke, or they're saying that I'm wrong, that's why it broke?
It says here because of the insulting remark.
Meaning they're saying that
because
they're wrong.
Because of the way Amram tried to refute him in public. It's more not necessarily a matter of, this is just not a way to speak. Somebody has
but they're admitting their wrongdoing when they're saying these things. It's because of my...
Well, I'm guessing it's that... I'm guessing that Rabbah is saying it's because I acted improperly and insulting you in public. And Rav Amram is saying, oh, I'm just... I was just, right. I indeed gave you a foolish answer.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I indeed gave you an incorrect answer, so I'm being punished by this. And and Rob is saying I'm being punished because I shouldn't have spoken to you like that.
Interesting. Matzah b'chafisa. Oh, so what was the ending on that, I guess? If it's like what you were saying, that Rav Amram is admitting he's wrong, so then I guess we're holding like Rabbah that it's masa based on reza yachzer. Again, I think this happened the same when we looked at this case last time. They never actually get back to Rav Huna with the actual discussion. It's just them by themselves. Matza chavisa obed los kamai. So you found it in a fowling cabin or something, or a vessel or something. My chavisa amarabba barbarchana chimes kitana. It's a little leather pouch or something. Maybe like a skin.
Yeah, small skin or hide.
For the sake of storing liquids, usually. So, my deluskama, amarab vershmuel, kalika de save. That's also like a pouch. Or a box.
My old people.
To keep their household utensils so they don't have to go looking for them.
An old person. I have that also, old people. I don't know why old people only use it. I guess because the young people remember where they kept stuff. I don't know.
It's just because. In the days of the Gemara, you know, this was very out of fashion to use this, but old people...
Old people still held on to that tradition, yeah, okay. Yes, I'm sure we could find corollaries today.
Lots of those.
It's like the rotary phone, you know. Okay. Tachrich shel shtaros, oh, agudah shel shtaros. Tanu Rabbanan, kamahu, tachrich shel shtaros, we already said this, shlosha kruchen zebezeh. Okay, v'kama hi agudah shel shtaros shlosh k'shurin zebezeh. What was the difference between those two? A tachrich is three. I guess they're folded.
No,
they're rolled up.
So tachrich is they're just rolled together.
And agudah is
they're actually tied together.
Okay, they're stapled, for instance, or something, or paper clipped. Okay. Agudah means
well,
that
unless
they're...
Unless it means you roll them up and then.
That's what I assumed, but that sounds like kruchen then. Kruchen means that they're rolled together.
Okay, you roll them up, but without a string.
Without a string, okay. You're saying the difference is the string. Okay, I hear you.
I'm not saying I'm right.
Right. You're just different proposals, okay.
I mean, how else would you do it?
Right. Shemas mina kesher.
Put little holes in them.
The only reason that I think that you might have a point is because we use the word agudah for a lulav.
Right.
Which is also a reference to tying things together in a bundle. And not stapling them together or something like that. So I don't know. Shemas mina kesher simen. We learn from this that the kesher, the thing that ties them together, is itself a simen.
Well, I have that as a question. Will you deduce from this?
Oh, shemas mina kesher simen. Hatani Rebbe Chiya shlosha kruchen zebezeh, which doesn't have a kesher.
The answer is no in parentheses, no in
parentheses. Right. Because that doesn't have a kesher?
For Rav Chiya, it's not three rolled together. This definition implies the answer to the previous question. Rav Chiya, to find a bundle of three rolled together without being tied, follows the fastening or not is not essential, and that being rolled together is itself a distinguishing.
Good. So, I mean, it could be still works within both of the opinions. Either it's got something that ties it together or not. Both of them can be used as a simon, or both of them can be justification for giving it back. Maybe just the fact that it's along with these other documents is enough to tell us whose it is and to legitimize the fact that they get it back. Ihachi hainu tachrich. Tachrich kol chad v'chad berosha de chavrei. Aguda deramu adade kruchos. If aguda shel shtaros is kruchim, is not the same as tachrich. Wait, what? Hatani Rabbi Chiya. Okay, what happened there was Rabbi Chiya said, I thought they were proving it from the Mishnah itself. Rabbi Chiya has a different version of this statement where he says that aguda shel shtaros means kruchim zebezeh, as opposed to the way that we said it, which was Agudas Hashtaros is Kshurin Zebizeh. He has the words Kruchin Zebizeh, which is what we used for Tachrich. He has those words on Agudas Hashtaros. So that's what's going on here. Says Gemara, Ihachi Hainu Tachrich. Rabbi Chia, you have the words Kruchin Zebizeh for the sake of Aguda, but really that's the same as Tachrich. So says the Gemara, no. Tachrich kol echad v'chad v'roshet echavrei. I don't know how this works. That Tachrich is when they are like head to tail.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's possible.
Overlapping slightly. I don't know.
How do you roll it up like that?
Yeah, if you roll up one document and then another one was rolled over it.
Oh, I think I know. Well, so it's not like interlocking. It's like one and then you roll another one and then you roll another one. Okay, interesting. It's such a fine distinction. It says here,
rightly or wrongly.
But Aguda de Ramahadaru Kruchos, they're mamish overlapped one after the other, and then you roll it. Yeah?
I guess that's right.
Yeah, okay. So says the Gemara. My Machr is, what does it mean?
Well, to announce something? Be end to end. The first time.
Yeah, I don't know what end to end would work unless you tie it.
The long way. Let's just roll this way, and I don't know. I mean, it's very confusing. Yeah,
I don't know either. Okay. So I guess you could roll it in two different directions, the short way or the long way. So my Macher is, what would you announce when you are trying to figure out if this person is the rightful owner? Minyan. You would announce. So this is itself a simon, we're saying. You say, okay, I found a bundle of documents. Whoever can tell me how many are in there, they get it. My area tlasa. Why would it say three? I feel trainami. Wouldn't two also be good enough? Elgdam ravina tiva machris. You really talk about the nature of the thing, not the number of documents. Hakanami shtare machris. I guess my machra's minion is referring to, I found three documents. And then the person comes along and says, oh, and they were wrapped like this. So they say, why not two also? So Ravina says, no, it's actually, we are announcing tiva, how they were bundled together. Hachanami, and then the person asked to say how many there were, which is what I thought originally. Hachanami shtari machris. That was the case. Ravina was the case of coins being together, and the question was how were they stacked. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer echad alove shloshay achzer alove. If they're all from one, for the sake of one borrower, so then you give it back to the borrower. Clearly, he had paid it off and collected them together. If you're going to tell me that they all came from the lender, so then why are they all together like that? Dilma likiyu minhu azli. Maybe all three lenders were like, hey, this guy owes us all money. Let's all go together to Beis Din and establish the fact that it's true. And that's why they were bundled together, I guess. So maybe that's what the Gemara is asking here. Demekaimi says the Gemara, no, they were already established. And they all had like a receipt on it or something. Not a receipt, a substantial certification on it, yeah. So therefore, we can't claim. Why can't it be after the fact?
That's what I was just thinking. Like
maybe they were all stamped.
Why is it? It couldn't have been 10 minutes later.
So maybe I think maybe that's what it's saying here. Dilma mida de safra nafil. Maybe it fell from the scribe who had certified it or something. Meaning he was still dealing with all three at the same case, in the same situation.
Well, the other situation, they all came separately. It's not described here. They all came separately, and he's like in his filing system. He's going to file...
You mean the scribe?
Well, I have here the clerk of the
whatever,
court.
Yeah.
He's going to file, okay, these are all the same lender, or these are all the same borrower.
I don't know why he would do that, but
so
okay.
So I'm going to file them all under...
Right.
Smith,
right. Okay, I gotcha. So lo mashi inish ki yume biya de zifra. Is that just saying clerks don't do that?
Clerks don't leave...
They don't just
file
them.
I don't understand why the clerk losing it is the only scenario here.
people don't leave their endorsed documents with the clerk in order to get them.
I guess the point is, once they come to court and it's stamped, so like, give me that back, like kind of thing. You know, I don't want anybody, I don't want to fall in the wrong hands or something. So then if you have the other way around, if they're all the same person lending, so you give it back to the malva, because he's trying to collect. Because if you're going to tell me it's from the three different people he lent money to, so maybe they went all together to write it, the shtar. I guess they're getting a three-for-one deal. No, it has three different handwritings or three different names of the clerk. I don't know. Maybe they went to also to go establish it. The three borrowers don't go and, you know, borrowers aren't like, you know, I want to make sure that I have to pay this money back. Let's go to the court and make sure and substantiate it. Yeah, no, it doesn't work like that. So that's a malva's job anyway. Says Amar Yeshi Man Simponos Yasimashim Simponos Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Simpon Hayotzi Mitachas Yamalve, that if a receipt comes from the malve, Af Al Pi Shekasuv Biksav Yado, even if it's written by the in the malve's handwriting, Eno Ela Kimisachik Upasel, it's like a joke,
a prank,
meaning the receipt goes to the person who paid, not the person who. Who was
Why
paid?
Why would this be a prank or a joke?
I think because he's not supposed to have it. No. So Gemara says, "Lo mi by a kasuv iksav yad sofer." Then it's obvious. Diklamim safra isramile v'kasav. That maybe they're in. He's in cahoots. The lender is in cahoots with the malva, and he gives him his receipt. Even if it's in the right handwriting of the malva, in which case you could imagine that maybe they did it together or something, that he was writing it for the sake of the lova and the lova never paid. So even then it's possible, maybe there's some kind of trick, the kaparali, and then the ilo yihivnele lo yihav lizuze. If I hadn't, so echtovana dechi aisi li zuze etain le. I guess the malva was thinking he was going to give him the receipt. I wrote it in case he gives it to me.
Didn't we read someplace that there are many kinds of documents that a scribe can just, I'm going to create a whole bunch of them with blanks. Certain ones you cannot.
But the get that. we talked about that.
You cannot do that with a get.
It's got to be lishma.
Can't you do it with these things?
And maybe you could. I mean, the point is, here the proof is who.
A lot of these problems.
Yeah, right. The proof is whoever's holding it. That's what we're talking about. That you only give it over once it's paid.
Yeah, but why do you need to write the receipt in advance?
Yeah, I don't know. Tanani,
say now. Just think.
Right. Tanani imyeshni imayim simponos yasimashipas simponos. The Mishnah said, okay. Kedamra of Safra Shnimitza bin Shtaros Kruin. They started early. It's mixed into the other documents that were torn up. Okay, and therefore, Hachanami Shnimitza bin Shtaros Kruin. The Shovar is still good, even though I guess it's within other stars that were torn up as if it's already paid type of thing, I think. We'll have to continue this tomorrow, Mirza Hashem.